Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most practical and exam-friendly topics in your entire GCSE mathematics course, statistics. Specifically, we're covering data representation and interpretation, the charts, graphs, and diagrams that examiners absolutely love to test. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. It's just drawing graphs. How hard can it be? And honestly, that's exactly the trap that costs candidates marks every single year. Because yes, the concepts are accessible, but the precision required, the correct labels, the right scales, the specific technique for a histogram, that's where the marks are won or lost. So in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to walk you through every key chart type, the exam techniques that separate a grade 4 from a grade 7, the most common mistakes I see candidates make, and a quick-fire quiz at the end to check your recall. Grab a pen and paper. You'll want to jot things down as we go. Let's start with the big picture. In your GCSE statistics topic, you need to be able to construct and interpret five main types of diagrams. I want you to remember the acronym BPSHC, bar charts, pie charts, stem and leaf diagrams, histograms, and cumulative frequency graphs. BPSHC. Say it with me. BPSHC. Good. Let's go through each one. First, bar charts and frequency tables. A frequency table is simply a tally of how many times each value or category appears in your data. Bar charts then display this visually, with bars whose height represents the frequency. Key rule, bars in a bar chart have gaps between them because the data is categorical or discrete. This is one of the most tested distinctions in the exam, the gap. If you draw a bar chart without gaps, you're drawing a histogram, and you'll lose marks. For constructing a bar chart, examiners award marks for correct labeling of both axes, that's one mark, correct scale, another mark, and accurate bar heights. Three marks, three things to check. Second, pie charts. A pie chart represents data as proportions of a whole circle, which has 360 degrees. The formula you must know, and this is not given to you, is angle equals frequency divided by total multiplied by 360. So if 15 out of 60 students chose football, the angle is 15 over 60 times 360, which gives you 90 degrees. Examiners will check that your angles are accurate to within 2 degrees, so use a protractor carefully. A missing key or legend will cost you a mark every time. Third, stem and leaf diagrams. These are brilliant for showing the shape of a distribution while keeping the original data values. The stem is the tens digit, and the leaf is the units digit. So 47 would have stem 4 and leaf 7. Always include a key, for example, 4 vertical bar, 7 equals 47. Back-to-back stem and leaf diagrams are used to compare two data sets, and they're a favorite for 4-mark questions. Fourth, and this is where many candidates drop marks, histograms. Here's the critical difference. You must know. In a histogram, the vertical axis shows frequency density, not frequency. Frequency density equals frequency divided by class width. This is the formula you must memorize. Why does this matter? Because histograms are used for continuous data with class intervals that might not all be the same width. If you just plotted frequency on the y-axis, a wider bar would look bigger even if it had the same number of data points as a narrower bar. Frequency density corrects for this. To find the frequency from a histogram, you reverse the formula. Frequency equals frequency density multiplied by class width. This is typically worth 2 marks in an exam question, one for the correct formula, one for the correct calculation. Equal class widths are simpler. Here, frequency density is proportional to frequency, so the shape looks the same. But unequal class widths, that's higher tier content, and it's where the real exam challenge lies. Fifth, cumulative frequency graphs. Cumulative frequency means running total. You add up the frequencies as you go along. To draw the graph, plot the cumulative frequency against the UPB class boundary, not the midpoint, not the lower boundary, the UPB boundary. Then, join the points with a smooth S-shaped curve called an ogive. From this curve, you can read off 3 crucial values. The median at the 50th percentile, that's half of the total frequency. The lower quartile at the 25th percentile. And the UPP quartile at the 75th percentile. And the UPP quartile at the 75th percentile. The interquartile range, or IQR, is simply the upper quartile minus the lower quartile. It measures the spread of the middle 50% of the data. And don't forget scatter graphs. These show the relationship between two variables. If both variables increase together, that's positive correlation. If one increases as the other decreases, that's negative correlation. If there's no pattern, that's no correlation. The line of best fit passes through the mean point and has roughly equal numbers of points on each side. You can use it to make predictions, but only within the range of your data. Going outside the data range is called extrapolation, and it's unreliable. Right, let's talk exam technique. These are the things that separate candidates who understand the content from candidates who actually get the marks. Tip one, always use a ruler. Every single graph you draw on the exam should use a ruler for straight lines. Freehand axes, freehand bars, these cost marks. Examiners are instructed to penalize inaccurate drawing. Tip two, label everything. Both axes need a label and a scale. The title is good practice. A pie chart needs a key. A stem and leaf diagram needs a key. If it's missing, there's usually a mark lost. Tip three, for histograms, never write frequency on the y-axis. It must say frequency density. This is one of the most common errors in the country. Examiners see it thousands of times every year. Tip four, for cumulative frequency, always plot at the UPP class boundary. I've seen candidates plot at the midpoint and lose every single plotting mark. Upper boundary. Every time. Tip five, when the question says describe the correlation, you need two things. The type, positive, negative, or none, and a description of what it means in context. For example, there's a positive correlation, meaning that as revision time increases, test scores also tend to increase. One sentence, both marks. Tip six, for draw a line of best fit, it must pass through the mean point, and it must be a straight line drawn with a ruler. It does not need to pass through the origin. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one, what goes on the y-axis of a histogram? Frequency density. Not frequency. Frequency density. Question two, when plotting a cumulative frequency graph, do you plot against the lower boundary, midpoint, or upper boundary? Upper class boundary. Question three, what is the formula for frequency density? Frequency divided by class width. Question four, what does IQR stand for and how do you calculate it? Interquartile range. Upper quartile minus lower quartile. Question five, what is the key difference between a bar chart and a histogram? Bar charts have gaps between bars and show discrete or categorical data. Histograms have no gaps and show continuous data with frequency density on the y-axis. Brilliant work for sticking with me to the end. Let's do a lightning summary. Remember, BPSHC for your 5 diagram types. Histograms use frequency density on the y-axis, frequency divided by class width. Cumulative frequency graphs are plotted at the upper class boundary and form an S-curve. From that curve, read the median at 50%, lower quartile at 25%, upper quartile at 75%, and calculate IQR as Q3 minus Q1. Scatter graphs show correlation, always describe the type and the context, and always, always use a ruler and label your axes. The best thing you can do now is close your notes, take out a blank piece of paper, and try to sketch each of the 5 diagram types from memory. That active recall is what actually builds the neural pathways you need on exam day. You've got this. Good luck, work hard, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.